Christians have to understand how we see things. The title of this is Perception, and the subcaption is, it's not always what it looks like. Now, everybody sees. I could take all of us and put us in a room. We all can see the same thing, but it's how we see it that matters and what's so important. Now, my wife would be the first to tell you I'm colorblind in many cases. And there's many times I've seen certain things that I thought was black, and she'll go, no, that's green. And I'm like, no, it's black. I don't even question anymore when she's telling me. I'll go, is it? Okay. Leave it that way. And there was a book we used to have that we wrote in. I called it purple, and I think it was blue, or vice versa. So we both seen it, but how I perceived it, and that one was due to what we may call a physical limitation. But God is talking about our overall, how we allow ourselves to see things. And this is very important because it defines you. And that's what we start off with him saying. This is why perception isn't just some nice thing and everybody sees things different and we must respect it, because Christians should see everything the same way. Let's read this verse. It starts off saying how we see will describe what we are. Okay, and that's important for us to know. It says in Matthew 6, 22 through 23, he says the eye is the lamp of the body. Okay, so how we see is what he's referring to. It says if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Then he asked the question, if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now I'll talk about that, but I want to first give you an answer here. I gotta give an answer to the only way you are the first one, because we know only God is good, is when my eyes are Christ's. It shows us that there is only one true good light in John 1:1-4. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was, watch this, the light of men. Okay, so now if you're not a Christian, you don't have light. I don't care how good of a person you think you are, you don't have light. In other words, the light that you do have is darkness, is what he's letting us know. Okay, so, which is also showing people have levels of. So some are worse. Now, all of them without the true light are headed to hell. Let me just make that clear. There are no, you know, in between lights where God's going to go, okay, I'm going to work with them. He's just saying the ones who have a deeper darkness are going to have a less of a chance of seeing when they're ministered to than those who have a maybe lighter darkness. You understand that? Now, the darkness is our choice. So when it says if the eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light, and if the eyes are bad, our perception is what we allow to mold it. You understand? So if it's molded by my desires and my surroundings and my, you know, what I want, it's going to get darker and darker. Do you understand that? And it's a choice. God places the right things in us in order for us to make a choice. And it's up to us if we make the right or wrong choice. I know we like to play the victim. And I tell you this many times, stop playing the victim. Okay? When you're emotionally or desire driven, it's usually going to be, almost always going to be the dark light. Okay, so we have to get our perception straight. We have to make the choice to make sure that we're seeing things correctly. Now, unfortunately, everyone has fleshly discernments based on their view, their point of view. Okay, so you got to keep that in mind. We're all going to see things different. Once again, we're going through a political thing that if you really sat down with people, not talking about their godly views, everybody's going to have their point of view. I think this person should be in office, this person should be in office. And we break down the views of what means more to us. And I believe in this, and I want to do this, and I trust in this, and I don't believe in this, and I think this is not happening. And all of this comes from our perception. We like to call it truth because that's what we believe, but it's just how I see it. And the things that affect where our point of view is can be, and this is just a few of them, our situation, right? Our race plays a big part, our relationship, our gender, our experiences, and our desires. And that's just a few things that when we allow them to play a major part in our lives, it will distort your perception. Okay? In other words, a Christian should know better and not allow anything to play a major part but Christ. Okay? All these other things have to filter through Christ. Like my situation better filter through Christ. You know, my race has to filter through Christ. My gender has to filter. In other words, until he gives an approval, I can't go, well, you know, this is just the way I was born. So, no, what does the Bible say about that? You understand? I can't let my experiences go. I know the Bible says this, but I went through this, so this must be the truth. No, you're very limited. Understand, it has to come from Christ. He's the all-knowing, all-seeing, and we get it straight from him. We all have our own points of view, but it's usually dangerously wrong when treated as absolute right. Proverbs 14:12 shows us it. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. We hear that verse many times, and it's repeated in another part in Proverbs, but he's making it clear that through your perception, I can con you. And this is where salesmen and politicians and some lawyers and some doctors and some con men are able to get to people because they change how things seem. Think about it. If you really want something, you can convince somebody that it's really not as bad as it seems. I'm going to make you now see it another way. I'm going to readjust your perception. And that's what's scary. And that's why we have to be alert and we have to have our shield up. Like I said, I watch Christians. I watch this swished and swayed all over the place, even though the Bible says that shouldn't happen to Christians. But the reason is we allow, and everybody has to think about that word allow, so much junk to have a say in our perception. Okay? Remember, still our choice. Okay? So if I allow all this junk, and here's the problem, especially in this age, we have so much access to junk. And we keep taking it in, and it could be on television, it could be from the internet, it could be from a friend, it could be from our family, it could be from ourselves, that we allow to have a say, and all the more we keep pushing God away. God does not take that light. Our purpose will truly define our perception. Proverbs 21:2 says, all a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. So this is why I don't want to live by how it seems. That's why I always said, I always struggle when I would go to somebody for some advice and they go, well, the way I see it, I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble. I don't want you how you see it. I want you to give me what I may not be seeing from God. Right? The only time, like I said, if you've ever in the past or in the future, anytime give me advice, and the minute I don't hear it coming from God, I hear blah, blah, blah. Why? Because it's not from God and it's going to be wrong. Okay? Because he is the way. Amen. He is the truth. We're going to see that a little later. But understand, when he says the Lord weighs the heart, he's saying, Keith, what is your purpose? So that's why I said, if I go to somebody for advice, I'm hearing maybe they read something in God's word that I missed, but that's all I want. I want maybe something I missed, you know, from God. I don't want what it seems like to you, because then I'm just going to have my bad and I'm going to have your bad. Remember, I told you a long time ago I was going to learn how to play golf. Still haven't done it, but one CFO I worked with gave me this advice. He said, whatever you do, if you learn how to play it wrong, he said, you could practice it every day and you'll just be good at playing it wrong. And that's what happened. You have a lot of Christians that think they're very wise, but they have worldly wisdom. So they're just really wise at being fooled. Think about that. Okay. And that's what we're getting, because we're taking the seam and not what God said. We'll get an understanding of how to do that. Now, God says you are a fool if you look at things only through your point of view. He says in Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Y'all catch that? All right. So the way of a fool, if I agree with it and I feel it, I'm going with it. God is saying fool. Plain and simple. He's saying, and remember, fools, as we just went through the whole Bible study on fools, are headed to hell. Once again, because they're being fools. So that's why I always beg y'all not to play the victim. You know what I mean? Because you can readjust a lot of your viewpoints just for what God says. I mean, easily. A lot of stuff that we are strong and we are advocates for, you'd be surprised. You'd be like, oh, I'm not thinking that anymore. I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of feelings and viewpoints I have that I had to let go of. Why? Because they're not in line with what God says. You understand? I got to follow what God says, not what seems right to me. all disputable scenarios are relative. What does that mean? So disputable, and you'll hear that term disputable. God gives some things that are a must. Okay, things that have to be, they're mandatory in our lives. And then he gives a opening of things, they're called the freedoms or disputable matters, that you can, if you do it one way and I do it another way, that's fine, it's not going to hurt our salvation. Like you read about that in Romans 14. We'll talk about that a little later. But you have to understand what means something to me may not mean anything to you. You understand that? I have feelings about something due to, once again, my situation and stuff like that. It may affect me more than it may affect you, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? I remember when the gas was real bad and it went real high, and they went to the gas station, they talked to this one guy, and he's driving this real big truck, and they were like, man, you see how bad prices are? He said, and the guy was being honest. He said, to be honest with you, the amount of money I make, I don't even think about when I pump my gas. He said, this is meaningless to me. He said, I make that much money. And he said that on the news. I mean, he's really puffed up in that sense, but what he's saying was true. So he's not one that's watching the news going, man, what, look at these gas prices. I got to get a smaller car. I got to drive. You know what I mean? Because I have a ton of money. And that's why we have to understand in certain areas, we're going to be affected by our freedoms. And we got to be careful not to just go with it based on how we see. It says in Proverbs 18:17, it says, the first to present his case seems right till another comes forward and questions him. I can't say, and I counsel couples, I can't say not one that when I only heard one person, when I finally heard the other person, I got to hear the other point of view. And I never could say where it was that lopsided, where one was dead wrong and one was dead right. There might have been certain options in there, but when you hear both sides of the story, it's like, oh, now I get it. You get it, because you're seeing two viewpoints. But of course, especially in marriage counseling, they always think the other one is evil and they're 100% wrong. And when you get the other one, they're no, they're evil and they're 100% wrong. You know, you both can't be 100% wrong. We got to figure this out. And that's where you start hearing the story and you're like, oh, this is how you see it. And this is how you see it. And I think that's also why God made us different, because it wasn't meant for us to try to force the other one to see it our way. We're both supposed to see it God's way. Amen. Now, the things man looks at are not what God looks at. Please understand that. As he showed in 1 Samuel 16:7, when they were looking for another king, somebody to, you know, to take that place, he said, but the Lord said to Samuel, and he said this also, this same comment in the New Testament, he says, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Let's stop there for a minute. A lot of our relationships wouldn't be in the shape they are if we stopped looking at things the way we look at. You know, we wouldn't be in so many bad marriages, we wouldn't be in so many bad situations, we wouldn't hire so many bad people. It says man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I remember years ago, I watched on 2020, they did a thing in which they took what the world calls ugly and what the world calls attractive. And they would, you know, one would go get an apartment, one would go buy something, and it never failed. The more attractive got the better deals, or doors would automatically open. And it's an automatic human response. They were just showing how people reacted to the more attractive, and the ones that they considered less attractive, they treated really bad. And in many cases, probably missed out on, you know, quality based off of this flaw that they see, if that makes sense. And he says, man looks from this outside appearance, which is wasting away, instead of the internal. You understand that? That's why, you know, the Bible tells the woman not to allow her beauty to be from outward appearance. And he's not saying, you know, not to do anything with the outward appearance. He's saying, don't let that define you, because it's deceptive. It's wrong. He called, you know, in Proverbs 31, it calls it the unfading beauty. You understand that? The unfading beauty, because unfading beauty is the internal beauty that is displaying God and always grows brighter and brighter. This external beauty fades. Not just with age, but even just with humans, we get tired. We see something over and over again. It was, oh, that's beautiful. So now, yeah, that's nice. You understand that? So we get messed up in that instead of us looking at what God wants us to look at. And that's why it says the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Heart is always your purpose. So if my purpose is not for him, I'm an ugly person. if my heart is for him, and your heart will show in how you live. You get what I'm saying? I desire this, but I keep doing this because of God. That means he's my purpose. But when I go, but God, I'm going to do this because I want to, but I still love you, is meaningless to him. Okay, so we got to make sure that my purpose is always for him. That's what God looks at. Now, what and how we see depends on what our minds are focused on. Mark 8:33 says, but when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. And watch what he said. He said, get behind me, Satan. Now watch this. This is where I'm saying it's our choice. He says, you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. That statement alone describes many Christians today. And the things that you're praying for, things that you're going to church for, the things that you're in a relationship for are still not based on God. See, Peter, a leader of the church, he was letting them know, because your focus was not on godliness, it was on worldliness. And if we really think about it, how many of us know the Bible says something, but we still support, get behind, dabble in, deal with things that are of the world, because we allowed our minds to be focused. Keyword, allow. Don't play the victim. I know we like to play that, oh, but I didn't know and I really tried. Telling you, I have and you have all access to truth. You know, I play that game, I'm just playing myself. Okay, so I have to make sure when it says you do not have in mind the things of God, that's why when Sister Lisa asked that question about giving, I'm glad she asked it, because it puts more in, because a lot of us, like I said, and I know you see a lot of them nowadays, but you have a lot of people that are having signs up and please give me this. And a lot of us will give a couple of dollars to make ourselves feel good. Now, I'm not saying good or bad either on that, but it's just for us. What we did was for us. We did it to make us feel better. Well, if the person is really looking into God, they would once again say, how can I, in a way, engage this person to really help their lives? I don't want to hurt them by giving money into something that if they're going to go out and buy drugs and stuff like this and hurt themselves any further or prolong this way. But then I don't want to give if they're really hungry and I don't know either or. So what do I do? And you have some that will buy food and they carry it in their car. When they see them, they give them food. You know what I mean? It may make it worse, but they're trying. Now they're trying looking at the things of God. They're going in the Word and trying to be shrewd, as the Bible says. But do you see where I'm going with this? Okay, it's where I'm focused on, well, how does God want me to handle this, not how do I want to handle it and hope God supports it. And that's what we're doing. We keep having things that, hey, I'll be happy, God, if you just let me have this and do it my way and bless it. And we're playing ourselves. Now, our perception could truly make us blind and make us lead others astray. This is the most dangerous part, because we have churches that way. We have leaders that are that way. We got families that are that way. When he says in Matthew 15:14, and Jesus giving them this warning, he said, leave them, they are blind guides. And he's giving them this warning, you need to get away from them. He says, if a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Okay, that's where you get the term the blind lead the blind. Okay, people use that, but that's what he's saying. He's saying, so if I'm already going in the wrong way, that's just like that playing golf wrong. And I lead a whole bunch of people to play golf wrong. We have a bunch of people playing golf wrong. And that's what God's letting us know. And that's what we have today. We have some fascinating wrong teachers and people are following them. And it could be for other reasons. You have some very well charismatic speakers out there. You have some that are very funny, some that say the right thing, some that know how to push the emotional nerves. I can go down the list of what they do, but truth doesn't play a part in it. Right? You're so excited after what you heard, you're now following them. And you were already blind. You were going there to get sight, and they're giving you something blind. So now blind is just leading blind. And are we doing that? So it's even important, even if I wasn't a minister, it's important for me to know the truth, especially this is for men, because I'm responsible for my family. If you're a Christian man, you are responsible for your family. Okay, so what that means is how you guide better be right. Now, you do have access to full right, but if you keep adding foolish stuff and lead them blindly, you're held accountable for that. You understand that? So we got to be very careful of that. And keep this in mind, emotions clouds perception. Emotions, as that question that was asked earlier about our emotions, emotions are just desires. When you feel sad, when you feel happy, when you feel frustrated, when you feel stressed, those are just desires in you. If you now give in to those, it's going to distort your perception. You got where I'm coming from. You'll, like I said, you'll get into things you shouldn't be due to that feeling. And then you'll allow it to run you. That's what it means in Proverbs 29:11 when it says a fool vents all his feelings. What it means is he lets free. His feelings are what define him. You know, there are people who are very emotional, but do you see some people that can change their whip? They get mad real quick and they get sad real quick. They cry real quick. And you see that the emotions, they're allowing their emotions to define them. Then you have those people, they have the same amount of emotions, but you see a nice, steady consistency from them. Why? Because they're in control. Doesn't mean feelings have changed. They still got the same feelings. So inside, they're going back and forth, but their feelings don't have the first, second, or final say. But too many Christians are this way. That's why it says, but a wise man holds them back. He's letting you know you have the ability, but you're making the wrong choice. So when a person displays their emotion, they just let it all come out and they call it passion or zeal. They got to be very careful because you have control over it and God's not impressed just because you're passionate, because the passion has to be based on good. Now, that same desire is what starts arguments. And every time I go over this verse, I always have to make clear so people understand what he's saying here. He says any fights or arguments. And we have to also understand that some declined requests to God are because of you and your perception based on how you see it. I'm going to break this down. First of all, James 4, 1 to 3 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? So I don't care what that other person did. I don't care if he started it. If it turns into a fight or a quarrel that you're a part of, it's your fault. Is it his fault also? Yeah, but we're not talking about him. Do you get that? If it turns, see, a Christian will never be in a fight or quarrel. Now, you'll have difficult people that'll try difficult things, but a Christian will never be lured into it because he doesn't allow that that's within him to allow him to get involved in that. This is why when you see debates and all this other stuff that we get riled up and passionate about, and we just, I'm not going to let them talk to me that way and talk. And I ain't going to lie, you know, there are certain things that are triggers that I really have to watch because it can make me go off. And next thing you know, I'm fighting and quarreling. I can have 8 million people agreeing with me and I'm still wrong. Why? Because I'm doing it based on my desires. I didn't like what you said. I don't like what you're doing. And that's never an option. You know what I mean? Then he breaks it down just in our relationship. We allow our desires to really mess us up. He says, you want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And that's the first part. So we don't really ask God. We don't first bring our request to God. But then some people say, well, I did bring my request. And this is where, once again, the emotions come in. Verse 3 says, but you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You'd be surprised how many people who read that last part and go, well, what's the matter with that? That's why I went to him, because I wanted something that I could have for my own pleasures. He's saying, when my pleasures is my purpose. And that's what ruins us. That's why I'm saying we were talking about even the riches down here on earth. People want riches to cater to their pleasures. Now, when I'm pleased by something, that's great, but my pleasure can never be the purpose. Think about that. Okay? So my perception is never, hey, what can I get to purely satisfy me? Because one, we can't be satisfied, and it's making me the core of it. You see where I'm going with this? Okay. So as the Bible is showing us, my motives always has to be to glorify God. Remember, it says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to glorify God. So I do stuff to glorify God, and in it, I may find pleasure. At times, I may not, but that's never a defining answer. Are we doing that as Christians? Think about that. As Christians, we still look for things that please us first, and maybe it'll make it good with God. But I'm happy. And that's what messes us up. So do you see this, how our desires, and then like I said, when we do that sermon, Dangers of Desires, what puts us in this dangerous road that we're in? Now, if we don't get our perceptions in check, we will miss out on blessings, plain and simple. When he says in Hebrews 12, because we also see it in James, but he talks about discipline here when he told us, endure hardship as discipline. If you've started in Hebrews 12, I think starting in verse 3, but it says, endure hardship as discipline. And then he says it down here at the end. He says, no discipline seems, once again, how I see it, pleasant at the time. He was like, when you're going through discipline of life, he's not saying it's going to look good. He's making clear it's not going to look good. It's not going to feel good. It's not going to be something that stimulates in a good way your flesh. And he even goes further to say, but painful. He was at times, it's going to downright hurt. But he's saying, but it's doing something. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. Watch this, for those who have been trained by it. Now, why is that so important? When I have eyes for God, I'm focused on that last part. Okay, it's doing something in me, so I don't become discouraged. I don't stop doing what I'm supposed to. I don't quit. But when I'm doing it for myself, I have a limit. And after a while, I'm going, God, I've been doing this for blah, blah, blah years, and I don't see nothing happening for me, and I keep seeing other people get it, and I'm done. And we feel justified in saying that. And all we are is a fool, from what the Bible says, because we were looking through the wrong lens anyway. We were headed in the wrong way. We were no different than what Judas Iscariot. Judas had that same, you know, he's money and all that. He's following Jesus, got to see more than what most people are ever going to see in their lives. But his purpose still was for Judas. He was greedy. And that's why greed is a major form of idolatry. So you see the dangers in having this fleshly perception. So let's look at a path to deal with perceptions the right way. How do we truly deal with and have the correct perception? So first of all, we must focus using the correct lens. And this is why this verse is so important. It's short, but it's powerful. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. Two major parts in that. Now, the first part is, and we've done this before, and I'm going to keep doing it in different Bible studies and sermons as God allows, to teach what true faith is. Because you hear people, and usually if you pay close attention to what people call faith, it's usually something based on what I want. I asked for this and I had faith, or I'm standing believing you're going to give. All of it's usually based on me. And that's not true 100% faith. You understand that? That's not faith in the right way. We keep missing that aspect of it and it keeps failing on us. All right. So when it shows us that and we keep failing with that, we don't realize that we're not walking by faith. And not just are we not walking by faith, we allow sight to come in here. In fact, most Christians today, we have a sight part in here. And this is why we pull in itching ear teachers. This is why we follow false doctrine. This is why we go in the wrong direction. Why do we do all this? Because we're not allowing faith to guide us. Amen. Right? We are allowing how we see, how we feel. And we want ministers to cater to how we see and how we feel. Now, for those who do understand faith but are still applying sight, you're still messing up. Because that not by sight is as important as the walk by faith. Sight is doubt. You must understand that. Okay? So when we live by faith, it means I'm doing exactly what he says, period. Not I do exactly what he says, but when I looked at this, it was okay, and I didn't see anything wrong with it. Or you go, when I saw that the fruit was good for eating and gaining wisdom, I thought, well, you know. And this is what we do. We reason things to fit how we see it, not what God says. Now, I want to stop there, okay? And I purposely want to stop there for you to ponder on that and to really think about that, because I want us to really take that small verse in, and then we're going to, God willing, delve into, okay, now, how can I really fix my perception? Because if you don't put these lenses on, the rest of it's going to be meaningless. You got to understand, recognize, know what faith is. So we either come back next week and everybody's going to have a whole bunch of questions about faith because you really didn't get it, or you're going to throughout this week study it and really get it, and you're going to realize what things are triggered by your sight and get rid of it. And we're going to fix that so then we can really dive into the rest of this to understand how to adjust our perception. Because one thing you're going to see, every Christian should have the same perception. Why don't we? Something to think about. Any questions? Amen. All right. I'm going to stop recording while I'm thinking about it.